are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
He is good. Well, we're concluding our sermon series, When God Shows Up. So we hope he keeps showing up, even though we're concluding the series, right? So today I want to talk to you about a God-sized hole. And I want to take you to Psalms chapter 86. And we're going to start at verse 1, or you can read up on the screen. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my heart, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, O God, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O God. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant me your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. We see here in Psalm 86 a cry, a desperate cry for help. And Psalm 86 is based on King Saul's tragic obsession with finding and killing David, which is found in 1 Samuel chapters 18 to 30. Now, after David had victory over Goliath, the women were out in the villages with tambourines singing praises of the army. And the tune struck a sour note in King Saul's ear. And Saul's focus shifted at that moment, and he kept a jealous eye upon David. King Saul stopped leading Israel, and he started guarding his own turf, his throne. Because Saul was threatened and suspicious, he became distracted and he ordered his son Jonathan to murder David. Saul was out of control and began a downward spiral of growing selfishness, jealousy, and paranoia, causing David to have to flee for his life. David escaped several encounters with Saul, hiding for the safety of his life. King Saul and his men were pursuing David and his men across the countryside. David's only crime was his devotion to God and the courageous defeat of Goliath. Saul's attempt to take David's life created this God-sized hole in David's heart. A hole caused by confusion, desperateness, and the fear for his own life. It would require total reliance on the Lord to revive this hole in his heart. In 1 Samuel 20, he asks Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? What is my sin against your father that he's trying to take my life?" David possessed the foresight to know that he couldn't go it alone and that he had to depend upon God's mercy to protect him. We all have a God-sized hole in our heart that needs to be revived. And this God-sized hole in our heart can be revived. It can be touched. It can be healed. It can be revived to the purposes of God once again. When you do these three things. And I see in verses 1 to 7 that the first thing is this. When you are honest about your current spiritual condition. And David is very honest with God in Psalm 86. Here he acknowledges his desperate need for God's intervention. And David begs that God would be gracious, be a gracious audience to his own prayers. We see that in verse 1. We need to have a pulse of our own spiritual status. Where are we at? What's going on? What's happened to us? What's influencing the way we feel, the way we think, the way we behave, the way we're interacting with other people? What's influencing our current spiritual status? And David begs in verse 2 that God might take him under special protection and preserve his life. We know that in 1 Samuel chapter 18 that Saul told his son Jonathan and all his attendants of the army to go after David and kill him. When this evil spirit came upon King Saul, he would actually take a spear and try to pin David to the wall. He tried it many times, and David ran for his own life, knowing that he would be killed unless he escaped the king's presence. So he escaped. And what did he do in chapter 18? He went to a resource that would direct, give him life, extend him grace, and keep him in a refuge of safety despite what the enemy was about to do. That was the prophet Samuel. And the prophet Samuel told him to remain with him in Ramah, and then King Saul would be dealt with by the Lord. We see in verses 3 to 6 in this chapter, in this psalm, that David unapologetically begs God for his mercy. We see in these three verses, he's crying out for mercy. He's crying out for goodness. He's crying out for forgiveness. God's unfailing love and a renewal of this heart that was once dedicated to King Saul and to the kingdom of King Saul and to help him win the battles, but then it turned on him because of jealousy, envy, striving, and because the favor of God was upon David rather than Saul. David begs God to fill him with this inward comfort that only God can revive the troubled heart with joy and confidence. And we see that as we read further. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said, prayer is the nurse of spiritual joy. And so even in this desperate moment, he's understanding that in some translations, it says, bend your ear to my heart. As it says in verse 1 here, hear, O Lord, and answer me. But in some translations, it's this personal beckoning of God to respond to his current situation. Our tendency may be to become impatient when we're waiting for God to answer. But when we're honest about where we're at, what we need, and the spiritual condition of our lives, God comes in and rescues us and provides that personal support either through a group of people, one person, or through somebody that he has hand-selected to speak to that specific area in your life. Has that happened to anybody out here today? Many of us have been in that position before. So guard your heart from becoming impatient when you wonder if God will ever act on your behalf. We see here that we all have this God-sized hole in our hearts that needs to be revived in times of stress, in times of worry, in times of fear, in times of anxiety, in times of oppression, and in times when the enemy has you under attack. None of us are eliminated from that God-sized hole of a need for God in the moment of crisis. We see in verses 8 to 13, that if you honor what God is capable of accomplishing in your life, then that God-sized hole in your heart can be revived. Honor what God is capable of accomplishing in your life. And we see in verse 8 that David boldly declares what God means to him. And he begins to exemplify this spirit of gratitude. And he confidently glorifies God, just as we did today in service. We were glorifying God today in service. That was meaningful. That was heartfelt. That was desperate. That was, Jesus, you better show up on the scene for me today or else. That's what was here in the room today. And that's what David was crying out. And he was honoring God. Whenever you take the time to honor God, he will honor you. That's just who he is. And actually, that's aligned with James 4:8. That's what it says in James 4:8. You draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Bada bing, bada boom. That's what he's saying. We see that David unashamedly worshiped God and his great name. And he has this spirit of reverence, not only a spirit of gratitude, but a spirit of reverence. And he believes that every nation, every tribe, every tongue will worship the true and living God. I don't know about you, but I'm not thinking of every nation, every person, every tribe when I'm in a desperate place. When I'm being chased by the enemy, I'm not thinking about the nations of the world. I'm thinking about my and me and my little own world. But David here on the run is crying out to the Lord in verse 9, and he says, all the nations you've made will come and worship before you, O Lord, and they will bring glory to your name. What he's doing here is he's convincing himself, because when he uses that title, Lord, you have to understand something. He's not talking about the name Yahweh, God. No, no, no. He uses the word here, Lord, seven times, which means sovereign God, which means God over all powerful, all knowing, ever present, and he is capable of taking care and bringing down any people, any nation, any tribe that raises itself up against God. That's what he's saying. We're in those days today. It's what we're living today. I love Revelation chapter 7 when it says, after this I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Will that not be a glorious day? Amen. That will be a glorious day. David humbly gives testimony of the amazing things that God has done in his life. And what's he doing here? He's saying, God, you've been so faithful to me up to this point. Even though King Saul is attacking me, even though I'm fleeing for my life, even though I know he wants to murder me, I know that he can't get me unless you permit it. I'm yours. And I'm confident. And so I humbly admit with a spirit of what? Faithfulness. David has not only a spirit of where he's faithful, he has a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of reverence, and now we see in verse 10 a spirit of faithfulness. For you are great and do marvelous things, you alone are God. He's saying, you've been beyond faithful to me. So let me tell the world who you are. You are great, you are marvelous. And folks, when people have not been faithful to your purpose, when people have not been faithful to do what they have been called by God to do for you or in your life, you can rely that God will be faithful and there will be another way that he will come and minister that need to you today. That's who he is. He's a faithful God. And so you need the spirit in your heart of gratitude, the spirit of reverence, and the spirit of faithfulness that we see in these verses. And when you honor God in that spirit, you can expect God to come on the scene when the enemy comes. And when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, stand your ground, take your ground, and say, the unmovable God will not allow you to move me. Amen? The unmovable God will not allow you to unmove me. I'm staying put. This is not your turf. This is not your territory. This is not, no. This all belongs to God. And I'm just a part of it. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. Says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I love that word, teach. Don't overlook that. That's a word that means trust, but it's bigger than trust. Most of us would naturally go to, well, teach me your way. That means he's going to unravel some truth. It does. But there's a different meaning to this word, teach. You know what it means? He's going to come to you with an ability to shoot straight with you. He will never lie to you. He will never mislead you. He will not speak untruth to you. He will always speak the truth and shoot straight with you. And actually, that word teach means to shoot straight for one to believe. I think Christians need to shoot straight with one another in a spirit of loving kindness. Because if I just say that, we'll have a lot of shooting straight. But it has to be done in love and kindness, because that's who God is. He's a merciful God. And he's saying to God at this moment, shoot straight with me and keep me on the straight and narrow path. Because what I'm feeling and what I'm going through and what's happening to me, and I'm running for my life, and Saul has been badgering me, and for no reason, he's jealous, he's threatened, he's insecure, and he's rebellious. David knows this. Why, God, would you choose a leader like that? Because God knew that one day David would be a leader, and he didn't want him to behave in the same manner. It was his training ground. God would use it. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 24 that David was given a clear opportunity to destroy King Saul. He was in the cave. And King Saul came in to the cave. And all his men were around him and saying, this is the moment to kill him. God's given him to you. That's the moment you need to hear the voice of God. Just because of what it looks like in the natural is not always the will of God. And that's why David had to hear God's voice. And so he sought the Lord instantaneously. But because he had that spirit of honor in his heart, he was able, through the spirit of reverence and faithfulness, to hear the voice of God in a moment of crisis. I don't know about you, but I've had some crises in my life where I needed the instantaneous voice of God to protect me. How about you? And you just need it. And you need to know it's God. And he told his men, hush, 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 we're not going to kill. No, I am not touching the Lord's anointed, though he be wicked and evil and ungodly and threatened and insecure and rebellious, I'm not going to behave like him. We all have that ability to make that decision today. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean we jump on the same train. We need to hear the voice of God. And so he refuses to kill Saul, but what he does is he cuts off a part of his garment and he sways it out in public, and the conviction of the Lord comes to him. And he responds to the Lord. Your heart is revived when you desperately cry for God to intervene. But when is your heart truly revived? Is when you choose to have the spirit of obedience. Ooh, when I thought of that, I went, ouch. Lord, I can be reverent and I can be faithful and I love to give you thanks. But now you're calling me to a whole new level of living my life in Christ. I'm calling you to not only hear my voice instantaneously, I'm asking for immediate obedience. An attitude of honor will revive your heart and reignite this new depth of worship. Part of healing that place in your heart, that place in your spirit, that place in your that God-sized hole from other people's doings in your life or the crisis of life or the desperate situation or the opposition of the enemy. It's when you do have this attitude of honor, one of gratitude, right? One of faithfulness and one of reverence and one of obedience. My question to you today is, do you have that spirit of honor within your own heart? We see here in verses 14 to 17 that you that hole, that God-sized hole in your heart will be filled when you ask God to deliver you from the enemy wreaking havoc in your life. And you are called, and I am called, to resist the enemy when he's destroying the purpose of God in your life. You heard me pray over these two children. The purpose of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God. Why? Because they're not children that are just going to grow up and be left to themselves. They're dedicated to the purposes of God. They're dedicated to the kingdom of God. They're dedicated so that when they're older, they'll do what you guys are doing and live for Jesus. Right? David was dedicated to the Lord. And so here he is. And the enemy's just wreaking havoc in his life. And he has to resist the enemy. And we see that in verse 14. We see that God knows how to steady us when the enemy is wreaking havoc in our life. We see that in verse 15. And then we see that God will rescue us from the assault of the enemy. We see that in verse 16. In Samuel chapter 30, we see a horrible scene where David has been out to war and he comes back to the city of Ziklag, and they're in Ziklag and it's all burnt, and the children and the wives and all the stuff have been taken. And there's David with all his men. They're exhausted. They're fighting against the enemy. They come back and all their loved ones are gone. And the men wanted to stone him at that moment. They wanted to kill David. They were all, they said, it says in that chapter that they wept so hard that they were spiritually exhausted in some translations. Wow. They wept so hard. And some of us, in these moments of oppression and crisis and situations in our lives, we wept. It's been difficult seasons. And sometimes to the point of spiritual exhaustion. That God-sized hole needs to be revived. When you've gone through dilemma after dilemma, oppression after oppression, the attack of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, you've got to stand your ground, resist, and say, God, fill this God-sized hole with courage and boldness to stand against the enemy at this moment. And it says in verse 30, he encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to do some encouraging ourselves in the Lord today. Just like we did in worship. Were we not encouraging ourselves in the Lord? That's what we need to do. And then it says something really significant in chapter 30. It says he took the ephod. Interesting. Because the ephod represented the 12 tribes of Israel and the deliverance that God would bring to the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was used often by the high priest to go into the temple and seek the will of God for the deliverance of God's people. So he takes the ephod from the high priests, and he goes to the Lord, and he says in Psalm 86, if you read in verse 17, he says, I want a sign. Should we go up and take back, or should we stay back and stay here at this moment? And God says to him, surely go forward, because you will destroy the enemy. Sometimes we think we hear God first, without waiting on God to touch our heart, to touch our mind, to to touch our spirit, to give us a sign through either an individual, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, or through something supernatural or miraculous. And that word sign, actually, if you read in verse 17, it says here, let me get there. I'm so excited. Give me a sign of your goodness. Give me a sign. And he's saying here in the word sign that I'm asking for a visible illustration, a signpost, a miracle, a mighty deed, or an event. Now that word actually occurs 78 times in the Old Testament. I think it's an important thing to be asking God if it's in the word 78 times. And today, who do we go and ask? I dare to even mention. No, that's what the Word of God is for. That's why we get on our knees and pray. That's why we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. That's why there's wisdom in the counsel of others. Amen? And so here he is. He's asking God to deliver him from the enemy wreaking havoc in his life. He's saying, I need a sign. And so he chooses to let the Spirit of God and God's wisdom, what at that moment of the most discouraged moment in his life up to this point, because now his wives are gone and his children are gone. And he's saying, what is up with this? And the Lord gives him the in the moment word, the word for that minute. He responds to the word of the Lord. He gets the army going. They go out. And what do? They bring all the children, all the wives, and all their belongings back to Ziklag. Victory in the name of the Lord. Some of us are looking for God's sign today. A lot of people say, you're really a weak Christian if you ask for a sign. I'm like, really? Well, it's in the Word that right here that David in his weakest moment, his greatest need in his life at this moment, he's asking for a sign. He's not asking for a sign for himself. He's asking for a sign because other people's lives are at risk. Amen? We want a sign, perhaps, because we want what God wants for us. But when you look at the word, it's not a sign for himself alone, but a sign so he knows that as a leader, as a person doing kingdom business, he's going to do the perfect will of God in that minute. Because he already knows they're going to stone him if it's not God. He knows that. What's he got to lose? And so I say to you all this morning, what do you got to lose? Ask God for a sign. Go before him with an honoring spirit. And ask him to deliver you from the enemy's havoc in your life. We are all people who have a God-sized hole in our heart that needs to be revived when we are facing the most desperate situations. And this God-sized hole in our hearts can only be revived when we are honest, when we honor, and when we trust that God will be a what? A sharpshooter with us. Right? He'll just be right there on the dot, in the moment. We just need that. And today is the day for you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Allow the Lord to deliver you from the enemy wreaking havoc in your life. And the key to having this God-sized hole revived is your willingness to pursue God's will, God's heart, and God's direction in the midst of the battle that you're enduring today, in this moment of your life. I'm praying that God will show up in your life today. Amen? Amen. And that you will be a person who comes and honors him with a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of reverence, a spirit today of faithfulness, and a spirit of, what did I say? What was the last one? Obedience. Can you say that with me? A spirit of obedience. Right? That's the key. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've had in your word. We thank you for this glorious time in worship and fellowship and baby dedications and prayer for Ukraine. You are on the move in this place. Lord, today I pray for those who have that God-sized hole in their heart, like David had, that needs reviving. We ask today that you would help us to be honest about our spiritual condition. You would help us to be honoring of who you are. And Father, that you would come and you would deliver us from the enemy wreaking havoc in our lives. Provide a sign in the midst of destruction and oppression and difficulties and stresses and anxieties and fears that we have in our lives. God, come and build us afresh with a faith and a substance to believe that all things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We're going to open up the altar for ministry. If you need a touch from the Lord and encouragement, don't hesitate to come forward. We'd love to pray for you. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.